This episode of Futurismo is brought to you by EY's automotive and transportation sector, the global leader in delivering innovative, pragmatic solutions to enhance mobility. To learn more about EY's commitment to building a better working world, please visit www.ey.com/automotive.
Welcome to Futurismo, automotive news podcast on the drive towards tomorrow. My name is Shiraz Ahmed, and today we have a story about water, energy, and how one nation decided it wants to make history. To recap, this season, we're asking how society might learn to love the coming revolution in cars. For these last two episodes, we want to look at one of the biggest driving forces behind innovation: governments. That's right, transformative technologies often need a push by public institutions before going mainstream. Whether it's in Washington, D.C. or down the street at City Hall, elected officials are setting priorities and roadmaps for our shared future. And often, they're working hand in hand with businesses to do so. So, where should we start?
The word Japan Inc. didn't just arise out of nothing.
This is Hans Greimel.
I'm the Tokyo-based Asia editor for Automotive News. You can go back to the very dawn of the auto industry here in Japan. It's largely, it had been, at least in its infancy, largely shielded by the government, protected as a seed industry, one of the pillars of the economy.
Recently, Hans reported a story that we're going to focus on today about how the Japanese government is betting big on a new power source and bringing the rest of society along with it.
It's really part of a huge initiative that's combining the government, academia, and industry, and they're really trying to promote it under this term, hydrogen society. Hydrogen is seen as the ultimate green energy. It can be made through solar energy or even water energy, wind energy.
If made from clean power sources, hydrogen-fueled electricity is pollution and emission-free. The government views hydrogen power as the key to energy independence.
This is a country, an island nation, that imports virtually all its oil.
There are plans for hydrogen fuel cells in homes and businesses, but the real story is about hydrogen electric cars. Right now, Japan's leading car makers produce a handful of hydrogen vehicles, notably the Toyota Mirai family sedan and Honda Clarity. There's 1,700 fuel cell vehicles on Japanese roads. If the government's vision pans out, that will jump to 800,000 vehicles by 2030.
No one can claim that Japan is short on ambition.
On the other hand, if this massive bet goes south, it could divert Japan's car makers into an expensive dead end and leave it saddled with technology it can't sell overseas. The stakes are high. Coming up, we'll visit ground zero of the promises and challenges of hydrogen energy and discover some of the tools the country uses to meet its toughest challenges. That's after the break.
Automotive News publisher Jason Stein sat down with EY Global Automotive and Transportation leader Randy Miller to discuss how the industry is remodeling for mobility.
What's the biggest obstacle you see in terms of fractional ownership? What areas need to be addressed the most?
I think there's a few big challenges. I think number one is who maintains all those assets out there and in those business models? Is it the vehicle manufacturers? Is it the operators of the model? Obviously, that's a huge cost factor and one that still needs to be figured out. I think there are also some challenges related to insurance and making sure all the coverages are out there and how that's going to work. So we're seeing some creative, I'll say, exchanges developing on that front to try and leverage and deal with that. And then I think thirdly, which is not to say that this is the least, probably one of the biggest, is just continued adoption in terms of who's willing to actually take a chance on the fractional ownership and actually use it in place of others.
We'll be right back. you're back with Futurismo. The funny thing about hydrogen electric cars is, at the end of the day, filling them up is not that different.
I mean, it looks a little bit like your normal gasoline station.
You open your fuel cap, connect the nozzle to your car, and then pull out your credit card.
You know what they're waiting for?
A card.
Oh, the pay, yes. To pay?
Payment,
oh, the payment card. Okay.
Here's Hans again at the Iwatani Hydrogen Fueling Station in Tokyo, learning how to fill up a hydrogen vehicle. They pay, and that sweet, sweet hydrogen begins flowing. Hydrogen filling stations are the best place to witness the awesome ambitions of Japan.
I think one of the biggest hurdles is going to be the infrastructure here. Japan has about 30,000 gasoline stations, and that's compared with only 100 hydrogen stations.
And having those stations is critical to the success of hydrogen vehicles. Here's how one Japanese official, Hiroshi Katayama of the Ministry of Economy, Trade and Industry, put it.
2025年の段階では...
In order to have more fuel cell vehicles, we need to have hydrogen stations first. And if there's no hydrogen station, we don't expect to see an increase in the number of hydrogen FCVs.
It's a chicken and egg problem. Without enough stations, no one wants the cars. But without the cars, there's no need for the stations. The government aims to have 900 filling stations by 2030, about 10 times as many as there are today. But hydrogen stations are expensive. A single station can be upwards of $1 million. Part of the reason is because of the newness and complexity of the technology. Hans told us that while the front of the station was relatively normal, the back was where the action was.
The sound of hydrogen running in the duct pipe.
Hans and his guides went into this area where there were machines, pipes, condensers, and a giant tank that stores hydrogen.
Well, the tank holds liquefied hydrogen, and it keeps hydrogen at minus 253 degrees.
We spoke with a senior manager at Iwatani, the hydrogen station company, named Masataka Kajiwara, and he explained that government subsidies cover up to two-thirds of the cost. But despite that, the business is operating at a loss. Here's Kajiwara.
Not just those hydrogen stations run by us, but other hydrogen stations run by other companies are also not making profit.
In case you missed that, he said that running at a loss is standard in the hydrogen game, hence the generous subsidies from the government. Here's Katayama from the government again.
So that's why, in order to write out this unprofitable period, the government and automakers need to pitch in there, throw in their support.
The country's not just throwing its support behind stations.
The price of the fuel is subsidized here, and of course the price of the cars is also subsidized here.
So now we're in the Toyota Mirai fuel cell vehicle, and we're driving around downtown Tokyo.
Hans took a ride in Toyota's fuel cell vehicle to get a feel for the technology. The Mirai costs about $65,000, and of that, the government subsidies in Japan cover about $18,000 of the cost, a little over a quarter of the price tag.
And without those subsidies, it's unclear whether or not there would be much demand at all for these cars. It's hard to say how deeply this push has really sunk in with the average consumer.
That's the rub for these vehicles, or for any new technology. Here in the US, EV and hybrid vehicles get a similar subsidy from the federal, state, and local governments to encourage going green. But these subsidies have been criticized as a tax break for wealthy consumers who would buy these high-end cars anyhow. In Germany and California, there's similar government action in financing hydrogen stations as well. All of which makes a big gamble on a technology that still has many skeptics. Daimler recently shifted away from its hydrogen car program, and Tesla Motors CEO Elon Musk is outwardly hostile to the technology. Why? One reason, while hydrogen can be made from clean energy sources, today it is most commonly made from fossil fuels. But the most consequential doubts come from ordinary people. Here's Katayama of the Ministry of Economy, Trade and Industry again.
A lot of people don't have a very good image of hydrogen. So that is a big obstacle.
Not having a very good image is the nice way to put it. Here's Hans describing the problem.
When they think hydrogen here in Japan, it often brings up the idea of the hydrogen bomb. That's one of the things that people in Japan are sensitive to about as being the only country that's been attacked by nuclear weapons.
In our previous episode, we talked about how self-driving cars have to deal with a similar balance of fear and hope, and what that means for advocates of new technology. You can check that out at autonews.com/podcast. Japan, however, has an excellent opportunity to showcase the wonder of hydrogen technology, much sooner than you may think. The 2020 Summer Olympics in Tokyo. Here's Katayama again.
Tokyo needs to showcase a way where hydrogen is actually used in a visible manner or in a visible fashion. Specifically, the Tokyo Metropolitan Government plans to introduce 100 units of FCV buses.
100 hydrogen fuel cell buses ferrying international visitors and spectators around one of the largest, most prominent sporting events in the world. As for Hans, our man in Japan, he had his own moment of wonder. After they finished their ride in the Mirai, they walked around to the back of the vehicle, where gasoline cars have exhaust pipes to pump out fumes and smoke. For a hydrogen vehicle, the only element to dispose of is H2O. So they flipped a switch and waited. Japan's hydrogen miracle is one way big governments are pushing big agendas. But it's not the only example, and it doesn't have to be a big economy to have big ambitions. These days, mayors and local elected officials have just as much sway in promoting the future. In our season finale, we'll look at what City Hall can do to help new forms of transportation get established, and why sometimes public-private partnerships may go south. This episode of Futurismo was produced by Hans Greimel and by me, Shiraz Ahmad. It was edited by James B. Treese. Hans reported extensively on Japan's ambitions to become a hydrogen society. Check out the full package at autonews.com/podcast. Futurismo is a podcast by Automotive News, the leading publication in covering the international industry. Check out our reporting online at autonews.com and follow us on Twitter at automotive_news. We'll chat with you in 2 weeks on the next Futurismo.